Welcome to the Trending Show. Now here is your host, Mike Quackenbush.
Yes, this is the podcast where I round up all the week's top trends and make sense, or sometimes nonsense, of them for you. The Trending Show is made possible thanks to long-standing show sponsor Cobra Electronics, and by great trendies like Donnie Turner, who left me a 5-star review over in iTunes. Thanks, Moose. Monday's top trend was Jimmy Fallon, who assumed the mantle of Tonight Show host after NBC finally shook free of the death grip Jay Leno had on the program for what has actually been my entire adult life. For the last 5 years, Fallon has hosted Late Night with Jimmy Fallon. Before that, he sat at the Weekend Update desk with Tina Fey on Saturday Night Live for 4 years. Fallon's debut on The Tonight Show drew over 11 million viewers, which is the highest ratings the show has earned since the last time they got rid of Leno. The Olympics are still happening, apparently, which can only mean the world did not get my message last week about just giving us all the medals. On Monday, the US of A showed why we are the planetary alpha males as we captured our first ever gold medal in ice dancing. Some background for you here. The gold medalists, Merrill Davis and Charlie White, have been a skating pair since they were 10 years old. Ice dancing is really considered an Olympic sport. An unknown sum was paid to members of the Olympic Committee in bribes prior to the 1976 Games to get them to call it a sport. The Winter Olympics, which are the GoBots to the Summer Olympics Gen 1 Transformers, are still a thing. The Guardians of the Galaxy from Marvel is due in theaters this August, and the first trailer for the film hit Monday night. And even with that late of a start on the day's news, it was still the third biggest trend of the day. If you grew up reading those fun space romps the Avengers went on in the 70s and 80s like I did, this is not the Guardians of the Galaxy you remember whatsoever. This is the ultra-recent version of the team, which only came into existence back in 2008. This modern reinvention of the Guardians has a very distinct personality and sense of humor to it, which is a relief. Because when they initially announced the Guardians of the Galaxy movie, I pictured those D-listers from the 80s Avengers comics and thought, this is not a movie anyone wants to see. But I am interested to see this. Doing just 1/5 the level of traffic of Guardians of the Galaxy on Monday was President's Day, which is why the bank drive-through lanes were closed. Well, to be more accurate, there is no such thing as President's Day. Did you know that? There is a federal holiday called Washington's Birthday, and it's been called that since 1886. But in the 1960s, there was a congressional movement to get some love for Abraham Lincoln and to change the name of the federal holiday to President's Day, but this motion failed. So why do we all immediately mutter some expletive and then President's Day when the front door to the post office is locked? Well, the Christian Science Monitor blames advertisers. Advertisers consistently call Washington's birthday President's Day in marketing messages. Retailers think President's Day sales are an easier sell than Washington's birthday sales. Remember, my fellow Americans, that the sales construct Black Friday, created and perpetuated by our nation's retailers, is responsible for trampling deaths and that awful Toys R Us shooting a few years back. We really can't trust those guys. Detailed information about all that, by the way, is at blackfridaydeathcount.com. That's all one word, blackfridaydeathcount.com. Yeah, that's a real website. Tuesday's top trend was Kate Upton. That's the 21-year-old model that has adorned the cover of many a magazine, like Sports Illustrated's swimsuit issue. Kate Upton often trends for no discernible reason. She's one of the most searched female names in all of internetdom. But this time, she did do something interesting. Kate Upton went about 34,000 feet above Florida so she could be photographed in zero gravity. NewsDiscovery.com was all too happy to cover this story about the bikini-clad Upton floating around weightlessly, and the article brought to light another equally puzzling lack of gravity exercise. Back in 2011, an Australian brewery called Four Pines hired the Zero-G company to assist in conducting weightless beer testing. Why? Because Four Pines must have too much money. So, in an effort to understand how the taste of different types of beer changes in zero gravity, the researchers discovered that the optimized space beer should be a reduced carbonation stout. This was discovered at a cost of millions of dollars. The optimized space beer was discovered at a cost of millions of dollars. That was the plot of Elysium, right? Like the privileged rich people spend their fortunes discovering the optimized space beer while the dirty plebeians squabble over cans of O'Doul's? Matt Damon leads the fight for microbrews. Jodie Foster plays the deputy general of wine and spirits. Somewhere overcast, the Pet Shop Boys weep over a lost cross-promotional opportunity. And how many people want to see models in zero gravity anyway? When did that fetish emerge? Ugh, I've lived such a sheltered life. Okay, list of places not to be this past Tuesday. Venezuela. 22-year-old beauty queen Genesis Carmona was shot and killed at a protest against the socialist regime of President Maduro. You'll recall it was just a little while ago that Miss Venezuela, Monica Spear, was also murdered there. So, exceptionally beautiful women, flee South America for the safety and luxury of outer space. Another place not to be this past Tuesday, the Ukraine. The Ukraine, also known as Ukraine, saw at least 25 people killed in a violent uprising, and the capital city Kiev left in flames. Then, late on Wednesday, the Ukrainian president, Viktor Yanukovych, declared a truce and announced that he would begin new negotiations with opposition leaders. But the brief calm was shattered early Thursday when fierce fighting resumed between protesters and the security forces, leaving many more dead. Also on my list of places not to be this past Tuesday, anywhere near the punk band Pussy Riot. In an effort to make the Winter Olympics in Sochi interesting, the members of the band Pussy Riot shot some video and even performed one of their guerrilla-style concerts. You may recall that three members of this band stood trial about 2 years back, and while one of them escaped imprisonment, two members of the band did serve 21 months, having been convicted of hooliganism, which I originally thought was a uniquely United Kingdom-y epidemic. Their songs are frequently about feminism and gay rights, and they are staunch opponents of Vladimir Putin. He's the guy with the nose. The guy with the head stain was Mikhail Gorbachev. No, the one that danced was Mikhail Baryshnikov. That one seems harmless. Well, despite their name, the members of Pussy Riot have got some big brass balls, because this week they were detained several times by members of the Russian police, and on Wednesday, militia members attacked the group with horse whips when they attempted to play one of their songs. Yeah, those wacky 20-something girls in the bright-colored mask that want to sing about feeling oppressed were attacked with horse whips. International Olympic Committee members then commented on the attack of the members of Pussy Riot, calling it unsettling. That's the first word that springs to mind on this one? Unsettling? Look, I know the Olympic Committee makes it their policy to remain apolitical, and I get that, because they chose to put the 2014 GoBot Games in Russia. So let's just tiptoe around those 10,000 awkward interview requests that are coming and say we don't comment publicly on political matters, And this calls to mind what I said last week on The Trending Show about tolerance and acceptance, does it not? Were X-Men comics not translated into Russian? Well, I guess not, or they'd be making big-budget Colossus solo films every summer. Is that because Bryan Singer didn't give him the accent in the movies? Look, you don't see Canada horsewhipping the members of Marilyn's Vitamins because Hugh Jackman is from Down Under, do you? No. In the interest of safety, masked members of Pussy Riot. I've heard Venezuela is really nice this time of year. Wednesday had trends about the Olympics and the Powerball lottery, which are nothing new. But this story did grab my attention. The story of Judy Cox, the Utah mother, who made national headlines for buying almost $600 in t-shirts from the PacSun store in her mall. Now, at first glance, this story does seem shocking. $600 is probably the most money PacSun has ever made in a fiscal year. But that is not the reason this story was trending. While shopping at University Mall with her teenaged son, Judy saw a display of what she considered to be offensive content printed on t-shirts. Judy did not want her son, or any other minors that might be shopping at the mall, to be exposed to the provocative, and as she put it, indecent, content on the shirts. And so, for the sake of the children, she bought the store's entire inventory. Now, I don't know what these shirts look like, as the news sources that covered the story elected not to show them. But I can tell you, just from passing PacSun stores myself, taste is certainly not questionable there. Actually, yeah, it really is. Now, are these things offensive? Well, who can say? My opinion might be different from yours. But I like this story. And I like this buttoned-up conservative mom who realizes that giant companies ignore the concerns of people just like her every day. Could she have written an email to the regional manager of the store expressing her offense at the indecent shirts? Oh, you bet. But I'll also bet any amount of money she'd get nowhere by doing that. A form response, maybe. Actually, probably a gift card to PacSun and an insincere reply. And Judy Cox seemed to know this. Our opinions, our words, our behaviors, as average Americans, usually trigger no satisfactory response in these kinds of circumstances. If you aren't a celebrity, you should prepare to be ignored. But Judy understood that the power of the average American lies in the dollars that we spend. That's how a statement is made. And this Utah mom, who strikes me as being out of touch, showed that she understands perfectly how the world works in 2014. You want to make a difference? Get out your wallet. And Judy Cox did just that. She didn't hide behind her keyboard and start flaming at PacSun on Twitter or griping about it over bridge and milk-dunked Madeleines to her knitting circle. She just bought up all the shirts and went home. Judy Cox, I think you've made some questionable choices as it comes to draperies and furniture, as I saw in the ABC News interview filmed in your home. But I think this choice you made is kind of awesome. I am glad to tell you that the Cobra Airwave 360 is finally available. It's a Bluetooth-enabled 360-degree speaker system for your home, office, or right in the vehicle. I like the fact that it's shaped like a sleek travel mug and it goes right in my cup holder. It can also function as a speakerphone for hands-free communication. You can pause music and answer calls with just the wave of your hand. And the rechargeable battery gives the Airwave up to 20 hours of play. Still not enough. This rugged all-purpose speaker even works with Siri. The wait is over, gadget lovers. The Cobra Airwave 360 is now here, and it's on sale over at Cobra.com. WhatsApp is about to be purchased for $19 billion cash by Facebook, which means it is time for me to get out of podcasting and start making mobile apps for Asian tweens. The Associated Press calls it the default messaging app of Indonesians. Aberdeen, Washington declared Thursday to be Kurt Cobain Day. That's the late Nirvana frontman's hometown. This was coupled with the unveiling of a Cobain statue at the Aberdeen Museum of History. Sculptor Randy Hubbard began work on the sculpture shortly after Cobain's death in 1994. The statue sat in her auto shop, Hub's Muffler Shop, while taking shape for the past two decades. So I can imagine this statue is absolutely amazing, because it took 20 years to make it. Not to be outdone, another Washington town where Cobain briefly lived has announced that they too will have a Kurt Cobain Day, just on a different date. And their Kurt Cobain Day will have a statue that is even taller and spent even more time in a muffler shop. Well, upon hearing this, city legislators from Aberdeen said they were now commissioning yet another Kurt Cobain statue, and this one will have two heads, and it will take 40 years to sculpt, and it will recite famous Nirvana lyrics like, "A burrito in my Speedo, yay!" I swear, he says burrito in my Speedo in there at least once. I've listened to that so many times, and the only thing that makes sense is burrito in my Speedo. Also trending Thursday was the Great Hot Pockets recall of 2014, which reduced my Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe podcasting partner and Hot Pockets aficionado Clayton Morris to tears. Hot Pockets containing the Philly steak meat are being recalled as part of a larger meat recall that involves Rio Rancho Feeding Corp. Put that hot pocket down. The USDA says Rio Rancho processed 8.7 million pounds of meat from diseased or unsound animals. Yeah, talking about some cow you shot, some cow that ate pesticide-treated grass, so forth. Well, Mitch and Murray sent me here on a mission of mercy. The good news is, we're pulling those Hot Pockets off shelves. But the bad news is, that whole better taste, better quality Hot Pockets line they've been feeding you is a line of crap. Hit the bricks, Nestle! And Friday had lots of sports-related stories. In fact, the seven top trends of the day were all sports-related. In men's hockey, Finland beat out the U.S. to take the bronze medal. This was like a match between Macho Man Randy Savage and the Brooklyn Brawler. And Finland wore the sequined cape with matching sunglasses and cowboy hat as pomp and circumstance played, and then elbow-dropped the U.S. to the tune of 5-0. The Daytona 500 racked up over 100,000 searches on Friday, No article got quite as much traffic as Fox Sports' piece called "The Day Is Here, 10 Storylines to Follow in the Daytona 500. Huh. These guys are doing storylines now? Is that where you've disappeared to, Jeff Jarrett? That's gotta be your dream job, right? Well, at least you're not in pro wrestling anymore. Space Jam 2 is coming, and you have correctly guessed it to be the sequel to Space Jam 1. But as Michael Jordan was killed by Lord Darkhelmet in the original, some sources are saying the coveted role of interstellar dribbler will go to LeBron James. Via Twitter, James denied these claims. He was then trending, independent of this spacefaring adventure, for having suffered an apparent broken nose at the hands of Serge Ibaka-Fett. Fans of Miami's warm weather were concerned that LeBron might have to miss Sunday's game, or, if he were able to take the court, it would only be inside a block of carbonite. February is almost over now, Trendies. That means you don't have much time left to sneak onto someone's computer and subscribe them to this show. Also, use their iTunes to leave me a 5-star review. Well, then the onus is off of you. Or if you've already left one, this is a way in. Now that we both have voices again, Clayton Morris and I intend to make a new Grizzly Bear Egg Cafe podcast for you probably this week. And shortly thereafter, a new trending show will be headed your way. But until then, adios, amigos.